You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
We are 9 days away from the 2025 NBA Draft Lottery, and after that, we'll know exactly where the Chicago Bulls are picking. On today's episode, though, I want to look at kind of some of the major outlets and see who they have the Bulls drafting in the 2025 draft. Then we come back at this after the draft lottery and see how it goes. We're going to look at all that plus the mailbag and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Terry Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go and get into this content for today, y'all. And we're going to start off jumping into draft content, right? So I want to take a look at where the kind of the major outlooks, Yahoo, The Athletic, everybody has the Bulls drafting in their mock drafts, right? Just kind of see where the outlets are thinking that the Bulls are going to go, right? So we're going to start off with The Athletic. They have the Bulls drafting Kaman Maloak. This is not a surprise. If Maloak is there at number 12, right, if he falls there to number 12, it's going to be hard for the Bulls to pass him up. Tons of potential, right? I've talked about it before, though. I do think his floor is a lot lower than some people are talking about, but tremendous potential there. The ceiling is ridiculously high. And I also think, like, when you look at the usage rate that he had in college, you didn't really get to see a lot of what his offensive game brings. I do think that shot is going to be able to develop a little bit more than we saw there for him. Absolutely. The question I have for Maloak is, how switchable of a big is he going to be, right? And I've said this before, when you have a high-powered and paced offense, you have to have really switchable bigs. It's kind of something you really need there, right? And also in transition, how well can Maloak play in that? But I think the switchability is the biggest thing there. And if not, that's perfectly fine. Then the Bulls are going to have to find themselves a switchable three or four to go next to Modest Bouzilis at some point if they don't have the most switchable big. So there's still, it's not the end-all be-all if they don't get a switchable center. But if they do, that's something that adds so many different wrinkles to this game as well. So while all signs point to the Bulls drafting a center, you never know, right? Because at the end of the day, this is Arturis Karnašovas that we're talking about. And he sees the world differently sometimes. But with Vooch's future in doubt, all those type of things, if Kaman, who's projected by most to be a top 10 pick, he's actually been falling a little bit, but you know, we'll see what happens there. If he's there at number 12, the Bulls would do, could do a lot worse than him. 7'2", ridiculously wingspan, the rim protection that we want, he's definitely going to be able to bring when it comes down to that. So, you know, that's going to be the thing. And then when you think about like the fact that Maloak is not the type of center that's ever going to really create his own shot, having somebody like a Josh Giddey there makes that interest even higher in a player like Maloak. So I think this is a really good, you know, center option here for the Chicago Bulls. And if he falls, it'll be great. Then we're going to move over to Yahoo Sports. Now, this is where it gets a little crazy, right? We're early into this. Kevin O'Connor, who writes for Yahoo Sports, has the Bulls drafting Liam McKinley, I should say. This is a forward out of UConn. Now, the thing with this is, right, I see the fit, but McKinley is somebody who's slated to go down to sub-20s in the 2025 draft, right? But I see the fit when you talk about, like, basically a younger Kevin Huerter. And if you're looking at Kevin Huerter as a player that you really think his skill set fits in well with Gideon, with Kobe, and, you know, especially if eventually you're going to get a center, McKinley does make some sense there. But I just don't think in this draft at where the Bulls are picking, it makes a lot of sense. Amazing shooter when it comes down to it, right? Able to put the ball on the floor, has a lot of different varying skills, all things said. But overall, it's just, I have some questions on, you know, why you would have the Bulls selecting at number 12 somebody who most mocks have going in the mid to late 20s. That's not really the best use of assets. And the Bulls aren't at a position to try to trade back or anything like that. Well, not for a player like McKinley. Like, it's just, that's the first weird one looking at this that I'm just like, I don't know about this one, right? It seems like Kevin O'Connor was trying to think outside the box and winded up thinking inside the dumpster. But, and that's mean. Because not that McKinley isn't a legit NBA prospect. He is. He is. Make no mistake about it. But you, to me, that like that's the type of pick. If the Bulls were a playoff team this year, that's when you try to look to do that type of pick. If the Bulls were already a playoff team this year, and you were looking to add something to a team that already, you know, went on a little bit of a run in the playoffs or anything like that, like, you know, maybe if you trade up for your second round pick or something, I don't know. I don't see in this draft where the Bulls are picking somebody would have somebody like McKinley there. But you know, it is what it is. The Ringer has the Chicago Bulls drafting Thomas Sorber. Now, I'm not mad at this one at all. 14.5 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 1.4 steals, 2 blocks. You look at what this guy's going to be able to do. Thomas Sorber projects, and he's honestly starting to become kind of one of my favorite prospects in this draft. Still very high on Asa Newell, but Thomas Sorber is a guy that, especially defensively, brings a lot, right? Now, the question is that the legit height. He's 6'9", right? That's where he's listed at. Some people have him as 6'10". And the question is like, is he going to be able to play center at the next level? Is that height going to be the huge discrepancy there? Now, he has an over 7-foot wingspan, so you're looking pretty good there, right? But Thomas Sorber, if he ends up being the guy that the Bulls select, I'm not necessarily mad at. I'm not mad at it all. It comes down to what that ceiling is offensively, but I think you have enough creators here that are going to help him. But that defensive upside of Thomas Sorber is something that would be really hard to pass up, man. This is a guy that's really, really big. You know, as far as on my draft board, he's starting to become one of my favorite players in this draft. Next up, SB Nation. This one's written by Ricky O'Donnell. He has the Bulls drafting Noah Essengue. Now, I talked about him yesterday. I do think that this guy brings tremendous upside. 18 years old. He's averaging 12.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 1.1 steals, and playing over in Germany. This is a guy that's 6'9", legit size. I think that he brings all that switchable defensive ability at the power forward, though, or maybe the wing, depending on how you pair off him and Modest Bouzelis. But as I said in my episode yesterday, he is actually one of my favorite players as far as if you're looking for a forward mate for Modest Bouzelis, and you're looking to go into that more. Both forwards can be switchable. They can play either the 3 or the 4. If you're looking for that, I think that makes a lot of sense, right? But this is the draft where, you know, if he's on your board and kind of your top 2-3 prospects are off it, I can see Noah Essengue definitely being somebody there for the Chicago Bulls that they would have on their board. Next up, CBS Sports, Danny Wolf. And this is a guy that a lot of people have asked about. And I like Danny Wolf. Make no mistake about it. Danny Wolf's floor is extremely, extremely high. His ceiling, that depends on how you view it and how you feel like you're going to be able to develop it, right? This is a player that has legit size, right? He's a legit 7-footer. He's going to have some size there. He's going to be able to put the ball on the floor. He can score a little bit defensively, right? And can he score the way that he did in college at the NBA level? That's what it's looking at for Danny Wolf. That's where the questions stand at, right? And overall, I'll say this about Danny Wolf. I like him. I don't know if I like him at 12, though, right? That's the thing when it came to when I was talking about Danny Wolf, he has really good upside. And I think he's more athletic than people give him credit for as well. But when I was talking about Danny Wolf before, it was more so like if the Bulls had snuck into the playoffs and made it out the play-in. But he can be somebody who right away can be a secondary playmaker for you. He's going to be a smart, extremely high IQ. Like I said, the floor is really high, right? And he can stretch the floor as well. And maybe that's really what the Bulls are looking for there, right? So that's kind of just the roundup there on where the outlets have the Bulls drafting. If you go to NBADraft.net as well, which they really are kind of, they're better after the combine. They have the Bulls drafting Asa Newell there at number 12. You guys already know how I feel about Asa Newell. I think what he brings wingspan-wise, what he brings in being a switchable big, the question is, can he put on the weight that's needed and hang up for that? He has the athleticism. He has the shot-blocking ability. Has a lot of untapped, I think, scoring ability there as well, where he can probably turn into a better scorer than people are giving him credit for, but he's going to have to add that strength. He has the frame that looks like he can add it, of course, but he's going to have to add that strength. I think that's what you're going to have to look at for as well. Defensive rebounding is a little bit of a concern for him as well, but I think he's going to be fine with that, you know, overall, but it is a little bit of a concern there is with his defensive rebounding if you're trying to nitpick anything about him. But overall, like Asa Newell is another guy that I do love in this draft. You guys know he's one of my favorite players in this draft. He's starting to be passed up a little bit by Thomas Sorber as I watch more and more tape. But don't you guys fret. After the draft lottery, we're going heavily into our draft coverage. That's when I'm going to actually start having tape on these players that play in the background and things like that. And I think also for anybody that's interested, because YouTube, of course, has, monetization issues, right? So I can only play so much of clips. But I think that maybe a good way to use playback is maybe we'll host some tape breakdowns and actually watch some tape on some players on playback where we're not as limited by that. We can go really in detail on that. So if you guys are interested in that, let me know. It'll be a scheduled time. You guys would have to go over to the playback. Let me know what you guys think about that, right? But it is Saturday, so that means it is mailbag day. Let's go ahead and get into these voicemails. This first one, this one's from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? You know, I know this is irrelevant conversation. I know you probably could care less about this, but I'm going to need to talk to these LeBron sexual fans, and I hope you play this voicemail, okay? You know, everybody's talking about, oh, LeBron's playing for 21 years, 21 this, 21 that. Where was Jordan at in year 20? Okay, let me tell you something. The accolades that Jordan had, it took him about not even a good 15 seasons, maybe about 10 seasons, versus LeBron, who hasn't even achieved an accolade and took him about almost 17 seasons. And in a couple of Jordan's records, LeBron still doesn't even have. Okay? We ain't just talking about rings here, people. Also, let's look at it from like this. Jordan did all of his work with one team. LeBron had to go somewhere else, not only to win his rings, but also to make his history. Another thing, people, LeBron James has proven that he falls apart in clutch situations more times than not. The names that Jordan has stopped from getting rings, like Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, John Stockton, you notice, ain't none of them came back to get their revenge on Jordan. Everybody who LeBron has beaten in the past has gotten their revenge on him, then some. Look, I know this is a stupid argument. I know, Hayes, you could care less. Hayes, you care less because you already know the truth and who's the great this and that. But at the end of the day, I'm getting so sick of these LeBron James fans always talking about some, oh, year 21 this, year 21 that. Let me tell you something. LeBron is a great player, but when it comes down to actual toughness and actual that killer instinct, Jordan got it over him. I'm sorry. LeBron is a great player. I respect him as a man. I respect everything he's doing. You know, he's a perfect example of what every black man should be, a great father and all that. But come on, man, you gotta give it the nod to George, whether you like him or not. Anyway, hey, tell me what you think. Peace.
The Jordan and LeBron debate. You'll notice that one thing I don't get into is that debate at all, because I think that both sides, right?
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I even say people who are Jordan fans, both sides, like they don't understand the purpose of the conversation, really. It's not to knock one to build up the other. I think anybody who feels like they got to do that, if you have to knock LeBron to build up MJ, or if you have to try to, like people who say MJ played against plumbers, you're a fucking idiot, right? Like those type of things. Like, I don't get into that conversation because it doesn't matter. Like, everybody's the right to have their own goat. It doesn't matter. And I think the conversation is more about narrative at this point than breaking down actual people's games. What LeBron's been able to do has been great. Him playing into this year, this far into his career, and still being this productive. Look at his playoff numbers. What he's doing at this age is amazing. And I can somebody who can acknowledge that without having to feel like to safeguard Jordan's legacy, I have to talk shit about LeBron, right? Like, no, Jordan's legacy is his legacy for a reason. There is no knocking Jordan's legacy. He is one of the greatest to ever lace up a basketball shoe, period. And there's nothing nobody can do to take that away. And a lot with the same with LeBron. Now, were they perfect? No. Are they going to have things that you can criticize and constructively have a constructive conversation and talk about? Absolutely. But the reason why I really don't get into Jordan and LeBron debates, even when I was over in the PCL, in the Players' Choice Debate League, I'm not getting into any Jordan LeBron debates, even as a Bulls fan. I'm not doing that because it turns into bullshit, and it's bullshit I have no interest in doing at all. I'm not interested in doing it. Jordan is one of the greatest to do it all time. LeBron is one of the greatest to do it all time, period, right? You can compare errors. You can compare whatever else. Jordan's, his killer instinct puts it a little bit above me. Not to say that LeBron doesn't. I'm saying Jordan's was a little bit different. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. So I don't get involved in those conversations. It's not something that I do. I just don't do it. But all right, let's get into the next one, man. This next voicemail, this one's from R-Dub.
What's the deal, Hayes? R-Dub here. Haven't called in a little minute. Not R-Third, bro. R-Dub. But I was just calling because I wanted to say, man, you know, with the draft is coming up, we all want a big man, but we never know what this front office is actually going to draft. But say we don't get a big man and we possibly get a guard. It's going to sound crazy. Y'all going to be like, guard? Like on some Soldier Boy. But whole time, if we was to get a guard within the top 10, and I don't know if he still will be available, but let me know what you would think if we was to get Walter Clayton Jr. I think Buddy reminds me a lot of like Bubble Jamal Murray, just without the dunking. Like Buddy is a sniper off the dribble, running up and pulling that thing. Fearless trigger. And shoot, if we had something aggressive like that on the bench, shoot, I don't think it would hurt, honestly. I know that we need a big man, you know, just for Vooch and stuff like that and to replace him or for the possible future, but if we was to get a guard, and if we was to get Walter Clayton Jr., let me know if you would be mad at that choice. And what do you think of him as a player? Just let me know what you think. All right.
Walter Clayton doesn't really fit what the Bulls need right now. I get what you're saying in that. Like, I just don't think at number 12, much like the McKinley pick that we talked about, the Kevin O'Connor wrote, I don't see it right now. Like, Walter Clayton is slated to go at the end of the first round, right? And not to say that as a player he's bad because, you know, he has tremendous upside. The problem is that he's a small guard, 6'3", right? Some people have him listed as 6'4". I love the way that he plays. Make no mistake about it. The dude's a dog, right? And he can go out there and make shit happen. So no knock on him, but I just don't think he's what the Bulls need. They don't need to be drafting right now for a player that's clearly going to be on your bench. He can't play next to Josh Giddey. I don't even know if he can play. Listen, Billy Donovan's going to play regardless, right? But you know, there's things like that. He has the shooting range. He has the things like that. He's a good player. Make no mistake about it. I don't think that he's what the Bulls need at number 12 at all. Even if they were going to go guard, I don't think he's the one to go with, right? I think you want to bring in a guard that has a different type of skill and can fit maybe next to either Josh Giddey or Kobe White, or maybe replace one of those guys if you don't plan on keeping them, right? But his creation in transition is really good. He runs the floor really well, those type of things. But you know, we got Io coming off the bench for that. So, you know, that's kind of my thought process there. I don't think at where the Bulls are picking at number 12, that makes the most sense for the team personally. But like I said, no knock on him as a player. I see what Walter Clayton has done. He's one of the reasons why that Florida team is so legit at what they do, right? The way he creates off the fast break is really good. The turnovers, he got to get down a little bit, but he can also get to the basket really fluidly. Like he's a really good player. He's just not the player that the Bulls need right now, at least not in my opinion, R-Dub. But thank you for leaving that Arthur jokes, R-Dub. All right, let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Vikram.
What up, Ace? Vikram. I've been, last week or something. Like, I've really been, looking into Matisse's, film from the year. And damn, bro, we really got ourselves one. I really hope that next year he gets prioritized in our offense, like in our offensive scheme, like a lot more, especially with that video that you and Pat put out about Modest on Locked On Bulls. Like, if Modest can really take that jump and have offense schemed for him, like and he shows he can be that star, like, I'm really excited. Like, he's like the prototypical wing for today's NBA. And I really think we got ourselves one. Also, a quick question. I know you've been going over your players, like who we should draft and stuff. Who would you like to see out of every single player? Who do you think would be the ideal player that fits the Bulls, regardless of position, ignoring like Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, the elite prospects? Who is like the one after the fourth pick that you would say is the perfect player for the Bulls to play, to add to a roster?
Yeah, I think we do got us one in Modest Bouzilis. I think most people realize that Modest Bouzilis is a dog, right? And he's a guy that is definitely going to develop for this team. You want to see how he's going to continue to go. It would be nice if we held on to our development coach, you know, with having a guy that needs to develop like Modest Bouzilis. But nonetheless, the more that you watch Modest and that you realize, especially towards the end of that season, when he started putting the ball on the floor a little bit more, he started being able to do more point forward type things. All those things are really there for Modest Bouzilis. And it really comes down to him and his mentality. And he has, from everything that we've seen, the right mentality where he's going to go in and work. He's going to go work, right, this offseason. And him coming out of that, I think we're going to have a player that's ready to make that sophomore leap personally. All right, let's get into the next one, man, the last one for today. This one's from Reggie.
Hey, this is Reginald. Just calling after watching your Patrick Williams play. And I can't give him a slight pass on injury because he's always had something wrong with him, whether it's physical or mental. So I got to get him an F because he regressed in all things. And there's just no excuse for that. You know, there's no excuse for the lack of effort. There's an excuse for lack of movement without the ball. You know, he's pretty much failed at everything. And the fact that Billy kept putting him in, you had Jalen Smith on the bench after you made that deal, you could have easily moved off of him, put Jalen in the fourth spot. Instead, you were right back to him. You kept giving him 14, 15, 18 minutes. Knowing full well that he wasn't helping your team out. And it was just frustrating to see. But it was what it was. Now that I hope you keep on telling people to stop thinking about, you know, getting these big superstars going to come here. Like, the only players who are going to be, will be interested in coming here, or I should say interested. But I don't know why the guys are successful getting these injured players. AD is supposed to come here. He wants to be here. He's from Chicago. The man can't stay on his feet. There's a reason why they call him Street Clothes. Zion, he can't play more than 40 games. I wouldn't give up a draft pick for him. And some fans talk about getting rid of Patrick Williams. Yeah, you can include Patrick Williams into a deal, but it's going to be for someone who's worse off or has a larger contract. I mean, if that's the case, you're probably looking at someone like Bradley Beal. And that's only if you waive his no-trade clause. You have a lot of delusional Bulls fans, and admittedly, I'm one of them, but you know, it's just right now we need to figure out what type of identity this team has before anything else. So thanks for hearing me out. Also, if you haven't seen the movie Center, go see it. Great film. And quick question, is Chicago one of the best blues cities in America or top five? I'd love to hear your opinion. Thanks.
Patrick Williams and F. Listen, a lot of people are going to grade Patrick Williams and F. I can't knock anybody who does that. Patrick Williams has failed to live up to really any modest expectations for himself. And I know that we have the Patrick Williams truthers and the excuse makers for him. And, you know, it is what it is. There are legitimate reasons. Like I said, the foot injury, even in that you can look for it. But P. Will, especially if the Bulls don't go center and they go forward in this draft, he's going to find himself continually further and further down the depth chart. And if he has another season where yet another rookie passes him up, it's GG's at that point for Patrick Williams. So, you know, you got to go when it comes down to that. As far as not going after a star, like I said, it just doesn't make sense to where the Bulls are right now. I know that it's fun for fans to talk about and daydream about their team making a trade for a star because it's going to get us out of that play-in. But overall, I think the patience. It's not just about when you go. It's about who you get. It's about when you get them, right? I think the Bulls are going to really want to evaluate what they have in this team. How close are they to how they finished the season last year? And then, therefore, they can go into the summer of 2026 being very aggressive. This team shows that for a full season, they can be what they were over the last 2.5 months of the season. I think that then that's a team that you're really willing to go out and spend some big money on to bring in what's missing and then hopefully take that team over the top. Now, as far as Chicago as a Jazz or Blues city, it's a Jazz and Blues city. Like, the Jazz and the Blues in Chicago is beautiful, bro. Like, you know, it's just, you know, so many clubs. There's underground clubs you don't know about, restaurants. Like, it's just it Jazz and Blues in Chicago is part of the heartbeat of that city, right? And you cannot ignore either one of them. So, yeah, it's one of the best music cities. Spoken word, right? That's something that doesn't get talked about a lot here. Hip-hop, right? The culture here, the battle culture. It's so much. Chicago is a music city for a lot of different types of music, and I think it deserves more recognition. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.